Welcome to Life's a Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is...
Gran and Gramps Save the Galaxy.
Oh, God. Family film.
Yeah, it's a family film. We're doing family films this week.
Gran and Gramps.
That one from Brent Black.
Yep.
The title suggestion. Thanks, Brent, for that one. Brentlfloss on Twitter.
Brentlfloss on Twitter. Go and play his game, Use Your Words.
We do.
We do quite frequently.
Yeah, we
At least once a week.
To the point where I now know every prompt.
So... Family films.
Family films,
is the thing we asked for this week,
yeah.
And you came out in force.
Yeah, no, we have way too many titles to get through this
week. How many in total would you say?
We got 28 comments on Facebook, wow. facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, go to there, and we got an absolute, well, Twitter keeps on coming out with tons and tons.
Keeps going.
Like, not many people, like, comment, although we are getting more and more every week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people just list more.
Yeah. You get big lists.
Yeah.
Tell you what, this one came from Twitter.
Yes.
Put a tally mark in the Twitter column.
Hmm.
And we'll see what happens next week.
A tally mark?
Yeah. Twitter won this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got the main pitch.
Which one's better, Facebook or the Twitter followers?
So, Twitter, 1 point. Good job.
We've started this already. we're doing family films this week. No guest.
No, just us again.
Yeah.
We're just quickly recording some wild family pitches.
Mm-hmm. Family films. Do you want to go through some honourable mentions?
Honourable mentions.
The
right honourable mentions.
We've got one from Frank Margarella from the Fan Cannon podcast. My Dad, the Messiah.
My Dad, the Messiah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Are we going to do Jesus, or are we going to say that? This is Jesus's kid.
I think this is a really quirky, one of those quirky British films that's kind of... Or, I think New Zealand are coming out with these kind of weird concept films.
Like Black Sheep?
Kind of, yeah. Hunt for the Wilder People. And,
yeah.
But basically, Taika Waititi directing this.
Yeah.
Basically, where this guy... this son, right? The single dad situation.
Yeah.
Where this son is living with his dad, who
thinks he's the second coming of Jesus.
The second coming of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. It's basically like they're.
Actually, no. His dad thinks his dad, who's played by
Simon Pegg.
No. It's got to be what's his name?
Jermaine Clement.
No. The other one, not from
Rhys Darby.
Rhys Darby. That's
it. Yeah. No.
His dad.
Yeah,
he'd be a great dad who thinks he's the Messiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And. He thinks he's the fourth coming of Jesus. So, like, Elvis was one.
he outlines it at the beginning.
Yeah, and
Elvis was
like
one.
Henry VIII. So
the fourth coming of Jesus.
Jesus. In fact, we start the film by saying many people think that Jesus has only been here once. But actually, he's actually been here four times.
Mm.
There's Jesus, Henry VIII, Elvis, and finally, and it cuts out, because at the time it's doing, it's not him, it's not a picture of him, it's like going through pictures of Jesus, Elvis, Henry VIII, and all that stuff, and it's like, you know, it's like it's an opening monologue, and then it pulls out, and it's Rhys Darby,
and me.
Yeah. And he's got this big beard.
I was born on the day Elvis died, so that makes me... The fourth coming of Jesus.
And he's got a big beard, half moon glasses, and he's wearing like a hat of some kind, like a flat cap.
Yeah. Like, weirdly, he does have some messianic powers.
I think
powers.
Things just seem to go right for him.
Yeah.
Not to the point where people believe he's the Messiah, but as it goes, like, he's lucked into... He won, got a minor win on the lottery very early. When he turns 16... No, he bought lottery ticket and he won $100,000.
This stuff like this keeps happening. I think the point in which he realizes he might be the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
Is like, well, one, he always said he was special because he was born on Elvis's death day.
Yeah.
As Elvis was dying on the toilet, I was being born halfway across the world. Exactly the other side of the world I was being
and
born.
As you know, what do we say about the world? James? His son.
Yeah.
It's a direct conduit for divine souls to be transmitted through the earth.
Correct.
Correct. Well done. One God point. And he gives me a little star sticker.
Yeah, yeah. Little stars of a G written on it in biro.
But he goes out and, like, his son, they're not poor.
Is it like a mockumentary kind of thing?
No, I think it's more of a Wilder People style thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, this kid, have we cast this kid?
Julian... Anderson.
The kid from the Wilder People.
The Wilder People.
Which
would
be perfect, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
His kid's basically looking after him in a way. Mm. Like, his dad's got money, because again, they haven't got a lot of money. His dad doesn't work, because, as I said, when he turned 16, he bought a lottery ticket and he won $100,000 New Zealand dollars.
I'm thinking that's just, like, luck thing, and I think he did sort of give that away to charity.
Yeah, but he's still living off. Part of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They live humbly, but they're living off it.
Yeah.
And so they're seen in the neighbourhood as kooky when James goes to school and there's a new school administrator, and when Rhys Darby comes in for a like a parent-teacher conference, she then reports him to Child Services. And it's a whole thing where this kid is basically trying to get his dad to keep being his dad.
I fucking love this
film.
Why is this? What?
It's like a touching... It's basically Home for the Wilder People again.
Holy shit. No, we need to make this film.
Yeah.
This is a really good idea. I think he might have been in a hospital once and he touched someone by accident who then was cured from, like... irredeemable, like, liver failure or something like that. Like, and then went on to stop drinking.
Do you think... So, the case against him from Child Services, and the reason he's considered dangerous to his kid, is that he's deluded and thinks he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
Do you think that this kid spends all his time trying to prove that his dad is Messiah, and then eventually... he spends all his time trying to convince his dad he's not the Messiah...
Mm.
But then in the end of the film, the kind of denouement is that this kid makes a kind of a video of his dad saying all these things and finds proof of the things that happened and actually makes an unprecedented case in the courts that he actually might be magic.
Yeah, it's like the kind of like the man who sued God. I'm thinking we just come up with a few scenes now of what Julian Dennison is filming.
Yeah.
I think they go out in a rowing boat onto a lake and...
Yeah.
Rhys tries to walk on water and falls in.
Yeah, he falls in.
It's hilarious.
And then he says, well, Elvis couldn't do that either.
And he was the king of rock and roll, but he couldn't walk on water. What else does Jesus do? He works at a bakery for a bit.
and he says, remember... Jesus
tearing bread apart.
Jesus was able to feed many people with just one loaf of bread, and he just tears it into little pieces. He says, look. And he just puts one bit of bread in on loads of plates. As people were about to leave, like, a truck pulls up and breaks down outside, and they're like, and it's like a bakery, like it's a rival bakery's truck, and a load of bread just spills out into the he's a fishmonger. It's a fishmonger's truck, right? He's just come from the coast.
Mm.
He breaks down outside and he comes in. He says, it's Jermaine Clement. He goes, does anyone want any fish? It's just going to go bad. and Rhys Darby's like, ah?
I'm the Messiah. Like, there's also pretty heartwarming moments of him trying to play the guitar.
Yeah.
Trying to naturally pick up the guitar and just, like, being terrible. Also going up on stage at, like, working men's clubs and stuff like that.
Well, I don't think he's terrible, but I think he's just all right.
Yeah.
So he's just, but he's singing from the heart.
Yeah.
And so it's this weird sort of like, when he gets a mediocre reception, he's sort of like, see, natural talent. And he's like rocking back, natural talent.
Yeah.
On the guitar.
Henry the Eighth. Like Henry VIII, he's had six wives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they all come in at
James
one point.
Is by his third wife or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah. It ends with...
In fact, no, James is by his like, second most recent wife, and she actually died.
Mm.
Might be where this all started or something.
I think it ends... with him,
I think it ends with him in court.
Yeah,
I feel like this kid makes a case for him being Jesus in court, and everyone's sort of swayed because of the love that his son's showing him.
Mm.
But this judge is still like, I'm afraid, like that's not.
There's also like a romantic subplot with his lawyer, but like,
but what I'm saying thinking... is like all the way through, he's wearing like, I don't know, he wears like. Robes and sandals, right? All the way through. And then they're doing this court thing. His son's making a plea to the judge saying, like, you know, look, he might be, or like, you know, just either way, I want to stay with him. Like, he's my dad. He might be a little bit crazy, but I really love him. He's my dad. And then Rhys Darby walks in like a brown suit and like spectacles.
Mm.
And just like regular people clothes.
Mm.
And he's like,
I'm not Jesus.
I'm
just a regular man.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, this could be the point in which June Dennison puts on the DVD of the video he's made.
Yeah.
With him, with like Rhys Darby falling in the lake.
Yeah.
Playing terrible Elvis music. like for his son and stuff, and teaching him like how to play a guitar.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh.
Yeah, and they're all crying, and then at the end, so he gets let off, and he gets, you know, let to continue being this kid's dad, and they both run off, and there's the final shot before the end of the film, before the credits, is them, and it's like a low down to the ground, of them. At the beach, and they're just running and running and running out into the water.
Across it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, you know those low tides?
Yeah.
When it's low tide and the beach is really flat?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like...
running, yeah.
And then it's low, and you see them running away, and then as they run, like, the camera picks up, and you can just see that it's just, like, low water or whatever.
I also love the idea of Rhys Darby... trying to be put himself in a tomb by putting a boulder across it, and just being really struggling to.
Yeah. No, that's how he sleeps. My dad, the Messiah.
Yeah, my dad, the Messiah. It could work. We'll write it, send it to Rhys Darby on Twitter.
See if he likes it.
Yeah.
Send it to Taika Waititi.
Yeah, it's like you'll like this film.
He would. I think it's the sort of thing he'd make.
Yeah. From Don't Worry About the Government, we've got My Baby, the Babysitter.
My Baby, the Babysitter.
About a baby who makes its own babysitting business.
It'd have to be, wouldn't it? Because I was thinking for very briefly that basically what happens is there's a creche or a nursery, and this baby...
this baby's slightly more intelligent than the rest
of
the babies.
Yeah, like a kind of Maggie Simpson.
Maggie Simpson.
Played by Maggie Smith.
yeah, the boss baby. The boss baby played by Maggie Smith.
So this baby is looking after everyone and the thing, but because it's phrased My Baby the Babysitter, it means that it has to be told from the perspective of a parent of some kind. So it has to be a baby that starts its own creche or like babysitting service in the dead of night or something. I don't know. So Anne Hathaway lives next door to a mall. She works in the mall. She's a single mother. She's working really hard. She works a lot, right? So she puts her kid into this creche. But what we don't know is the creche is a front for the mafia, right?
What?
They're running a protection racket on every shop in the mall.
Okay.
Right? Also, they don't care about the kids whatsoever. So this baby always just escapes and crawls home.
Okay.
And then as the story goes along, more and more babies start escaping this creche in the mall and then just going to this baby's house. So Anne Hathaway comes home to find 7 babies.
The babies just keep multiplying.
Yeah.
And then eventually the baby talks and it's Maggie Smith's voice. Like, I'm the babysitter. That's what I do.
I'm the spirit of a long dead...
baby's long dead nanny.
She says, I was killed by the mafia.
And now I'm out for revenge.
I was possessed. I've possessed your son.
This baby boy with the voice of Maggie Smith.
Took a weird turn, yeah. This one, didn't it?
Yeah, so, but like, there's also this sort of side bit of like, the baby going up to like, the parents of these kids and going, do you want to have a good night out on the town like you used to? I can babysit for you. And so like, the parents were always laughing, just like, ah, ha, ha, like, Anne Hathaway will have to just babysit and I reckon, like, give this baby to... completely forgetting that the baby has got the voice of a 70-year-old woman.
Yeah.
70-year-old Scottish woman. In middle America.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's kind of like a Stewie Griffin thing. Where it's like, can people understand it?
Who knows?
We don't know. But like, Anne Hathaway's like, no, I know the baby is genuinely intelligent. She can just babysit.
I think that, like, Anne Hathaway, like, Maggie Smith will not leave this baby until revenge has been brought upon the mafia.
Well, I'm thinking, like, Anne Hathaway and her baby are making money through this babysitting business.
And then getting protection money.
Like, it's Danny DeVito, mafia man, he's like, hey, you're another business that isn't been racketeered by me.
Hey, how about, right, the reason that Maggie Smith is stuck in this baby's body is that she was, like, she wasn't just a nanny, she was also a witch.
She was a witch nanny to a mafia.
She was a lovely lady. Mm. She just happened to do spells and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And she knew that the mafia were coming.
Mafia Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
In another life, she babysitted unassumedly. Okay,
so she was the Mary Poppins for a mafia family.
Yeah.
Imagine if instead of it going being a banker, the dad from Mary Poppins was actually a mafioso.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's like, I'm a legitimate businessman. Okay, I'll just babysit your little one.
This is all in a flashback.
Yeah, yeah.
And but then she knows that the mafia are coming.
Because she found all this...
She knows too much.
...criminalising stuff. Yeah. She got killed, and now she's out for revenge as this baby. This reincarnated baby.
Yeah. She was killed, but, like, she knew the mafia were coming, so she set herself so that she'd, you know, either stay in a body or she'd be able to be... She'd be saved somehow.
Yeah.
But it went wrong and she got put in a baby's body. And now, until she's got revenge, she can't leave this baby's body.
Yeah. So she... Basically, there's a shootout in the mall.
Babies just got shotguns.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they sell guns in a shopping mall in America. So she like... full-on Rambos.
And the mafia obviously all think that Anne Hathaway's doing it.
Yeah.
So she's just hiding while...
Well, they keep Anne Hathaway hostage and the baby's like, get your hands off my mother, you dangerous mafiosos.
And then they think they've got her cornered, this baby, because eventually, like, she's doing indiscriminate killing, obviously.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, doing the kind of family version, which is knocking them out.
Mm.
And they've finally come around to the idea, the mafioso, that maybe a baby is knocking all of his goons out. Right? Because before, obviously, he doesn't believe it, because who would?
He's watching the security camera footage, and he's like, shit, no, it's a baby that's killing.
Oh, maybe it is a baby that's killing, that's knocking out all my goons.
He's like putting
I just shot a guy for lying to me about that.
he didn't shoot a guy. He got him crushed in like a car.
Yeah. That's what you get for lying. Turns out he wasn't lying.
It turns out he wasn't lying after all. I killed one of my best guys.
So anyway, he's finally come around to that idea, and he thinks he's cornered Maggie Smith. And there's two things. This happens like twice across the film.
Hmm.
First time, he thinks he's got Maggie Smith, picks up a baby, and obviously it's not.
It's
a different baby.
Yeah, chucks it away.
At which point, Maggie Smith is there with a baseball bat, just boom. That's a goon does that.
Yeah.
Then finally, near the end, like the some of the shops have been broken into, on fire. There's gunshots everywhere.
This mall is
lit up.
Yeah. Destroyed.
Danny DeVito thinks he has got Maggie Smith baby cornered, right? And he's like, "You're not getting away this time." And he's by this time he's heard her backstory and she's. They've done the monologues and all that stuff. You're not getting away this time, Maggie Smith, nursery Mary Poppins mafiosa. She says, "Oh, I think you'll find I am. You see, I'm a babysitter." He looks behind him and he turns around and there's just a crowd of babies with guns.
We'll just riddle him with bullets as he falls into a wet drain and the camera pans up, saxophone music plays.
And then she's like, "At last my spirit can go on to the afterlife."
And she disappears, out, saxophone music plays, yeah. My baby the babysitter.
Yeah, it's good.
Did not see that coming.
No, me neither. They're the best ones.
Should we just run through?
Yeah, let's do the rest of them.
We're just gonna run through the ones we didn't get to that I've noted down
real quick.
Now on the podcast, it's time for this new thing that we've started doing called the Yes, Very Clever Award. It's where we've seen someone give us a title that's based on a title originally. Someone's given us a title.
It's a punny title. It's a pun based on another movie.
Yeah. Some of these aren't puns, though. There's two here I've got down that aren't puns.
Go for it. Let's find out.
We've got from John Ramsey, we've got Honey, I Shrunk the Arctic.
Honey, I Shrunk the Arctic.
I'm thinking it's about Trump signing the... not signing the Paris Agreement.
Yep. Yeah, it's very clever.
Honey, I Shrunk the Arctic. Oh, God. And from Lewis at LouG999 on Twitter, we bought 25 zoos.
Yeah,
imagine the chaos.
Very clever.
So, yeah, that was the Yes, Very Clever Award. Well done, guys. So from My Waste of Talent, we've got Grandpa Ate My Eyeballs. There was a list which was pretty bad. All very bad. That was the best one.
Grandpa ate my eyeballs.
Yeah.
Better.
Granddad's chained up in the attic because he wants to eat people's eyeballs. He's the
monster from Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah. He wants to eat people's eyeballs.
Where'd you get those peepers, Grandad?
From Ross_Originals, we've got the Hutch Clutch. It's like Chicken Run, right? As in, like, it's stop motion animated.
Yeah.
But it's with bunnies. And it's not The Great Escape, it's The Fast and the Furious. The Hutch Clutch.
Nice. It's like it's got to, you get tortoise and the hair jokes, you got all sorts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, brilliant. From Connor Lavelle, we've got Tornado Tantrum.
Tornado Tantrum, that's cool.
We've got one from Alex Not Safe for Work Keen, that's Sibling Divalry.
Divalry? Sort of like.
I mean, it could be like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing with twins, maybe.
Could be, yeah, absolutely. Two twins separated at birth. And
they've both become...
They both accidentally become...
Hitmen.
Hitmen, yeah. Or secret agents of some kind.
Yeah, secret agents who've both been asked to kill each other.
Yep. But then they find out that they both looked the same somehow. Oh, no, they look at each other's background and realise that they were both adopted from the same orphanage.
Yeah, yeah. And then they turn on the agencies that have hired them.
There you go.
And from Jasmine Marr, we've got Trump Family Holiday. So yeah, thank you for all your title suggestions this week. The response has been overwhelming.
Yeah,
I think this has
really
been
great.
The most we've ever got from anyone. So
yeah,
thank
man.
You. Please keep it up. Because, we do love hearing from you. Yeah, and
it is good. I mean, just go to the Facebook, because people all over there liking and replying to each other's comments and stuff. People seem to have a good time. like pissing around with these concepts. So yeah, go ahead.
There seems to be like a little community building up around just giving us titles and chatting about what titles are good, what are bad. And we get it when we go on Twitch and people come on and chat to us.
Go to twitch.tv/Life's a Pitch podcast because we do regularly stream. We stream at least once a week.
Yeah, we stream party games, Use Your Words.
Yeah, sometimes we just go on there and play random games. Yeah. You know, last time we streamed, I believe we tried to get chat to decide who did the better impression of characters from Home Alone getting
Sticky
electrocuted.
Bandits. Yeah, yeah. Who did the best
Sticky Bandits getting electrocuted impression?
Yeah. So yeah, thank you. Remember, you can give us titles any time of the week. We usually ask for genre related titles on Friday. You can go to Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. And facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast.
And remember, you can always go over to patreon.com to help support the show. That's patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can contribute very, very small amounts of money to help keep the podcast going, help us get more stuff, help us get better guests on and that sort of thing, and help us pay for their travel and basically increase the amount of stuff we can do, whilst also getting rewards for yourself. Bonus pictures every single week. Early access to little snippets of the show. Anything else, Tom?
If you pay $1 a month, which is nothing, 25 cents a week, you can have a say on what genre we're doing that week by entering our poll. We put up, I think, 4 genres every week, which you decide which one gets chosen.
So you get to vote on which one, which is why we're doing family movies this week.
Yeah.
Because our patrons voted for them.
Thank you to our existing patrons, Ross Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Mills, and Joe Hegarty, for your support.
Thank you, guys. You are helping make the podcast better every month.
So, on with our main pitch.
Ah, yes.
From Brent Black at Brentalfloss on Twitter. Gran and Gramps save the galaxy. You see, I love the word Gramps.
Gramps is pretty good. Is that why you chose it? Is that why you chose it? So Barbara Windsor is playing Gran. And
who's playing
Gramps?
Rutger Hauer.
Rutger Hauer? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So
not seen him in much recently.
No, that is true. Wait, yes you have.
Yeah, we saw him in Valerian the other day.
That was a shame,
because he was in it for less than 5 seconds, I'm sure.
And he doesn't howl any flies like he does in Blade Runner.
No. Barbara Windsor and Rutger Hauer are this power couple.
Yeah.
Clearly.
So, well, I think this is a story of how these grandparents are almost out of touch with their grandkids. Whenever their grandkids come to stay, which they come for weekends while their parents are away on business trips, they come to stay at their gran and gramps, and they are bored stiff because they don't have TV. They're complete luddites in technology, right? They don't have TV. They don't have Wi-Fi. They barely have electricity.
Right, I'm thinking it's a farmhouse. They're in a remote part of like really far away from any. Like technology or cities or anything like that.
Yeah, they're farmers, you know.
And the kids, that they have to go there every summer because their parents just abandon them.
No, I think they go there.
They feel abandoned by their parents.
For the first time in a little while, their parents are called away on business at the same time. Normally,
I don't know.
Because I don't want there to be an established relationship with these grandparents. I want this to be a new thing.
This to be the first time they meet them. It's better if they've never met them before because you've got that introduction
shock
to their...
Yeah.
And I think, Nathan Fillion and Kristen Wiig are both called away...
Sounds good.
...on...
Great call on the dad, Nathan Fillion.
Just a little cameo at the beginning of the film. They're called
and
away on business. Mm-hmm. And at the end, obviously,
never come back.
Never come back. It's like, right.
Die at sea. I'm thinking while they're out there, there's the problem of crop circles.
Yeah.
No, cattle abductions and shit. Like, they've got that whole, almost like In the Boonies, alien vibe.
Yeah, this is it's a pretty good...
UFO.
Yeah, it's got Spielberg vibes all over this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I'm thinking, the kid... let's actually cast these kids.
Okay.
Right? The older daughter.
Yep.
I'm thinking...
I don't know any child actors.
Maybe Elle Fanning?
Sure.
Yeah, Elle Fanning, the older daughter. You're a kid. The guy who plays Dustin from Stranger Things.
Yep.
And the younger daughter, Mara Wilson from...
Oh, right, so we're bringing her forward
yeah,
in time.
Yeah, we're stealing her from
yeah,
that.
That's fine. That's perfect. Good casting.
That kind of... Yeah. So... Yeah, I think Elle Fanning.
She's got that cute. Oh, she did a silly thing. Mm. Vibe going on. Yeah,
Elle Fanning is the popular, trendy older daughter.
Yep.
She's like interested
she's a teen,
in yeah.
16-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh no, can we use Sam Thippy from Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah. No. Yeah. That.
I don't know what her name is.
Lady Dylan Galula.
Because she did that role pretty well in that. So why not have her be like ugh. You know, why are we going to go out and... She's the one voicing all these problems.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, she's like...
There's no phone, no cell phone signal, she's and like, so she wants to talk to her boyfriend.
Yeah, she's like prom queen
yeah.
kind of deal. Yeah. Dustin from Stranger Things, however, nerdy...
Yeah.
D&D playing...
Yeah. So just Dustin from Stranger
just
Things.
Just Dustin from Stranger Things, basically. Yeah. And Mara Wilson being the sort of little...
Childish,
kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A child. Yep.
Who's into storybooks.
And yeah, she's
the one most down for like
for being out on a farm.
Being out on a farm yeah. because like she's seen all the animals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Dustin's
obsessed with aliens.
Yeah. No.
UFOs. Yeah. Technology. He's all about it.
Like. He's talking about it on the car ride there.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe we'll see aliens.
Yeah,
like,
I heard that there was... he's not got the tooth thing, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I heard that there was aliens spotted in this location a few years ago. So maybe we'll see some aliens. And Nathan Fillion's like, yeah, sure you will, Slugger. Yeah, I bet there's all sorts of aliens out there. You have a great time.
And then cut to Zamfipi rolling her eyes as she's
yeah.
on her phone
yep.
and like the signal's going. She's yeah. like, oh my God, I can't get any signal. What the
and
hell
so
is this?
She's really into like the technology. She knows how to, she's all internet like savvy and communicating with people.
Yeah.
Like Dustin's, God, I don't know what the actor's
Dustin's
called.
Up for in...
He's all about UFOs and Mara Wilson's all about adventure. Those three aspects are what the grandparents are going to learn from their children when they're saving the universe.
Yeah.
Saving the galaxy, I guess.
Saving
it
the
is,
galaxy.
Yeah. Whereas the kids are going to learn self-reliance and get up and go and pull your socks up from the grandparents, right? Mm. And also the value of family and being together.
Mm.
So that's, okay, that's the point we're going to start with. Obviously, at some point, they're going to get abducted by aliens.
Mm.
But when and how?
Well, no, I'm thinking they don't get transported to another part of the galaxy.
No, I'm saying,
thinking
like,
the alien invasion...
Starts there.
Comes to Earth.
Yeah.
And this, and they have to stop.
Maybe even, like, a neighbouring farm is already aliens.
Oh, is it like Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
No, like, I'm thinking almost like Men in Black style. Or maybe, no, I tell you what, it's the farm next door, very mysterious, big fences, is an Area 51 allegory.
Yes, it's run by, weird, like, one played by Pee Wee Herman.
And one is Jack Bauer's name.
Kiefer Sutherland. Pee-wee Herman and Kiefer Sutherland
yeah.
are partners for
yeah.
the FBI.
Well, yeah, they're out there and they're just like wearing like suspiciously straight like check jackets with a tie,
and like they're like struggling to chop wood.
Yeah,
because like and. There's a scene where the grandpa's like, "That's not how you chop
wood."
I
don't trust that man, and. Zamfipi, what's her name? Dylan's, should we name these kids?
Zamfipi, Dustin, and Mara. There we go.
There we go.
Just to make
Matilda,
it easier
Matilda,
for
Matilda. Zamfipi, yeah. Dustin, and Matilda. So, Zamfipi's like, what are you talking about? It's just a guy cutting boring wood. just a guy cutting boring wood. Can you even get cell phone signal? And then she like goes over to the fence and because she sees like a hot teen looking guy, behind on the other farm. She's like, oh, maybe I can talk to another teen my age. But he disappeared mysteriously, ushered away by...
Well, no, I'm thinking that they go... At one point, they go to the local sort of shops.
Yeah. You know, oh, like, yeah, and she sees
like,
him.
Like, kind of like Smallville.
There's
kind
a
of.
Guy by... Yeah, there's a guy played by... like a young...
Like Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the Hemsworths.
A young Hemsworth. Mm. No, actually, let's make it...
A wild young Hemsworth approaches.
Let's make it... what's his name? Grant Gustin from ABC's The Flash and...
I'm thinking right at the moment we've got to the farm right. The Gran and Gramps have right. We haven't introduced them yet.
Sure. We kind of skipped over that because I thought it was implicit, but we should definitely go through it.
Yeah, they get to the farm and we've outlined like Xanthippe's definitely not up for a good time.
Yeah,
because they're all reliant on technology, and then
Dustin
they realize
is like my laptop doesn't work.
Yeah, he can't play his video games.
Yeah, he can't play his space video games.
Mara Wilson's fine.
She's reading a storybook and she's running around in the ground having a great time.
She's the one, and then I think it should go in that order of like how sort of willing they are to accept adventure.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah. Like, but also, like, I think Xanthippe's the first one to cotton on. Because at first, obviously there's these clashes. This is what we were going into. Mm. There are these clashes between Gran and Gramps and especially Xanthippe.
Mm.
But also Dustin, like, is almost behind Xanthippe. Xanthippe runs off into a room and slams the door.
Yeah.
And who do we say was Gramps?
Rutger Hauer,
yeah. He's like, you don't slam doors around here, young thing.
They're having a real trouble time to connect.
Yeah, they just can't connect.
Generational and upbringing gap.
Yeah. Dustin's like, Grandma, where's your TV? And she's like, oh, well, we don't have a TV. Love, sorry.
But I want to watch Game of Thrones.
And then Dustin's like, oh, okay. And he goes and sits in the corner real sad. And she's like, turns to Gramps and says, oh, maybe we should have got something for them to do. And Rutger Hauer's like, no!
This is where...
I'm going to take them out tomorrow and they're going to have a great time.
I'm going to take them out. But this is where Rutger Hauer introduces him to Dungeons and Dragons, because he's all down for like playing video games on his electronic devices and stuff.
Yes,
he's not learned to unlock his imagination potential. Yeah. So, like, I'm thinking, like, when Dustin looks really down, like they win over the kids. Little Matilda, she's fine.
Yeah,
like she's running around. Like she spends all the film running around in the field, because twist is, she's already been assimilated by aliens.
What?
She's running around.
No,
and feeling
I think
really
she's
weird.
She's just happy. I think she's just happy. I think she's gonna be. She's almost at some point in this film. She's just gonna be like the Deus Ex Machina.
She's running out in the fields, right? Yeah. She's the first one to come. And like, oh yeah, I ran around in a circle. There's like loads of circles in the.
Yeah, I ran around in the circles.
Yeah, ran around in circles. And like Rutger Hauer was like, what?
Yeah, but I think also they're at the shop.
Mm.
In another scene, Xanthippe sees Grant Gustin, hot teen.
Grant Gustin, yeah.
Who's buying a load of stuff. And she's like, what you buying? Oh, he's just like, just a home improvements for my dad.
Mm.
And he's like really awkward and then leaves. And they're like almost flirting, but not at all. Because he's like, he's just a bit weird. Mm. And he's buying a load of weird stuff. He's buying like copper wire and like... weird technological stuff and batteries and capacitors and stuff.
I'm kind of getting a weird vibe. You know the older kid from Jurassic World, how he just keeps looking at girls and they keep looking back at him.
Yeah,
even though he interacts with them.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that kind of thing.
Pretty much awkward.
Yeah.
But anyway, he leaves and she sees him. In the farm next door, through the big fence, and then she goes over to the fence to see if she can see him or talk to him or whatever. Mm. And then she realizes she got, because she naturally gets a phone out. That's one of her things. She always gets a phone out whenever she's bored or whatever, even though they've got no signal.
Like, signal's going through the roof.
Yeah, she's
here.
Got full signal.
Yeah,
and she's like,
so she tries to call a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's been escorted back into the farmhouse by these two men in suits, which is weird in itself.
No, they're not suits. No. They're checkered flannel suits.
Okay.
Like, they're suits, but like the trousers are like jean coloured, and yeah. the top is like flannel coloured with a black tie.
Yeah, he's been sort of escorted.
And they're both wearing shades.
Like once they see her coming, that she's been. Like, they escort him back into the... She's like, oh, that's weird. That was really strange what happened yeah. there. She's oh, shit, I've got signal. Phones a friend. As she phones a friend, like, a load of, like, it screams in her ear.
Garbled, like, almost alien speech. Well, it is alien speech, you'll find out.
And she goes back and talks to her grandparents, like, oh, crap, like, you can get a signal here, but it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And that's...
Mind your language, young lady.
Yeah, basically. and I think this is around the time Mara Wilson comes back and says, like, I was running around in the circles and like, what? And
she's been into next door's farm.
Okay.
She's
right.
crawled under the fence and she's got in and
they've
she's
got
like, they've got a load of circles and there's a big machine.
Yeah. And this is when Dustin's like, right, that telescope. You showed me the other night, Grandma.
Yeah.
Or Grandpa, depends what connection.
Why don't we look from the attic
through
the telescope?
And they look and they see just crop circles all over the place.
And then they see like something, like one big metal dome in the middle of the farm.
Yeah. Shit. Now we've got the reveal that
we
it's
need to
aliens.
Figure out what the. Threats of the universe, threats of the galaxy is.
Yeah. I'm thinking...
Like, you wanted body snatchers.
Body snatchers.
But
I
think
it's a bit
tried.
Yeah, it's a bit done. That's what I'm thinking as well. I'm thinking they're wanting just to steal Earth.
Yeah, all right.
To power a giant galaxy... the power of the...
building a big engine on the side of Earth to maneuver it into another galaxy.
Well, like
no, right? I've got it. They want to be their Earth. Their sun has exploded.
Yeah.
Right. They've traveled this far with their planet. Their planet is. One big ship.
Yeah.
Right? And they want to be in Sol, our star, our sun's orbit, but Earth's in the way of that perfect...
The Goldilocks zone.
Earth's in the way. So they're going to try and... They're going to make this engine to push it out of orbit.
But they're saving the galaxy in the title.
Oh, yeah. The whole galaxy. Shit.
So I'm thinking the aliens have a plan to destroy the galaxy.
Yeah.
Or enslave it.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, or I think destroy probably better.
So God, this needs to be higher scope.
I'm thinking they're using Earth.
Yeah.
To build a giant weapon.
Yeah.
From its molten core. Like, it's iron molten core.
Earth just happens to be...
They're building Starkiller Base
from
Star Wars.
Earth just happens to have the right concentration of iron in the centre of it and stuff that, like, they could use it to resonate and blow it up into such a way that it would be a chain reaction.
Destroy the galaxy.
Yeah.
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 And this is when... the kids get kidnapped by the aliens.
Yeah.
Because they've realised that Zanvipi's been seen by the... By that kid.
Yeah, who's working. Gustin.
Yeah. Mara Wilson's been running in the field.
In circles.
Dustin's been...
Spying
on the telescope.
Yeah.
Whereas Rutger Hauer and Barbara Windsor have got nothing... this is the first time they've heard of it, kind of thing. And so they all get kidnapped by the aliens.
They've all been kidnapped. In the meantime,
yeah,
who should phone Barbara Windsor and Rutger Hauer but Mum and Dad?
Okay, and what do they say?
How's everything going over there? You all getting on fine? You all having a great time in Farmsville?
I'm thinking, right, that they have come to, like... This is a point where they have sort of got to know each other better and become friends and stuff like that. And then they
started,
got kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then like, oh shit. Like the kids have been kidnapped.
No, I feel like this should happen at the I hate to talk about story circles, but this should happen at the darkest point.
Yeah, yeah.
They fall out.
Okay, yeah. No, that they fall out.
They start to become friends, they start to bond, and then something's discovered, like Rutger Hauer being against Xanthippe seeing Grant Gustin.
Yeah.
Xanthippe sneaks out of the house to go and meet him, which is when the other two follow her, which is when they all get kidnapped.
Which is like to go talk to her. They all get kidnapped. They don't return after that night.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer's like, oh shit, I really did a number on her.
Yeah.
Crap, we've got to go find her. They walk out all across
find
the field.
Find the clues that, they've been taken through wherever.
They haven't discussed with the grandparents that they found aliens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dustin hasn't mentioned, because I think Dustin and Matilda have found him. Xanthippe's just seen a hot guy.
Well, yeah, she also noticed the weird... She also got spoken to in that
weird
language.
Weird
which
guys.
Dustin's putting all this together.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what he said to Matilda. He's like, she can't go out there on her own. There's aliens out there.
So he goes with Matilda. But that's great. I like that. Little thing.
Rutger Hauer gets phoned up by Nathan Fillion. He's like, hey, Dad. Just letting you know we're coming back tomorrow. The business trip was actually just rubbish. It didn't go anywhere.
They're coming back tomorrow, and you know this is supposed to be, because he's been estranged from his dad for a little while.
Mm.
Nathan Fillion's been estranged from his dad for a while. That's why they haven't seen each other, because they live so far away and stuff, and they haven't been speaking. So this is really a testing moment. So. Rutger Hauer's like, no, everything's fine.
There's a little bit there in Nathan Fillion's thing. Like, I think that they work for like some energy company that uses molten magma to power something.
Yeah,
it's like, well, it's all gone. We don't know where it's gone. And so, we're just coming back from the business trip now. Nothing to worry about, I guess. Apart from most of the Earth's core's gone. It seems to be reacting weird. So, we're just coming back... tell the kids we'll be back soon, and they've got nothing to worry about. And Rutger Hauer was like, shit. Like, we've lost the kids. We thought we had another week to find them. Now we've got a day.
I've just thought, firstly, not the way you'd react. I thought we had a week to find them. I was going to put the kettle on. But I just thought, instead of... I think there should maybe be a Body Snatchers thing, like a Cyberman feel, because... of the integration of technology.
Mm.
I think these people want to use humans to turn them into cyber soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
To send them across the galaxy and destroy and take over.
Yeah.
Because basically
that couples with the theme.
Yeah.
Not blow up the world.
Yeah, that couples with the theme of technology.
So they've
and
got this
them resisting
UFO
it.
Factory.
Yeah. Who's converting people?
Yeah.
Who come to this area?
Yeah.
And there's a whole like there's
completely
this,
missed Rutger Hauer and
you know
Barbara Windsor.
I just found out this conference, it's moved over to near you.
Yeah, we can go.
There's a new startup. They're
company,
selling
yeah.
a new kind of, you know, and yes all that
good.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, Rutger Hauer, like, I think they realize he uses his tracking skills, which he's been teaching Dustin.
Ranger. Yep.
That's how they've bonded.
Woodland ranger type guy.
Yeah. D&D being a ranger, that's what they do.
Yep.
He uses his tracking skills to realise that they've been taken into Nexor's farm. He's like, I always had a problem with those guys.
They put up that after they put up the fence, all the community went.
Yeah, so he goes back. Never thought I'd see the day where I'd have to get old Burfer out again. And he pulls his cupboard out and he's got this giant shotgun.
Yep.
Giant blunderbuss-style shotgun.
Barbara Windsor's got... she's like... Well, looks like I'm going to have to get my weapon out as well. She's just got, like, a cricket bat with nails. Like, with barbed wire wrapped around it.
I was about to say a baseball bat. No, she's British, so it's a cricket bat. Yeah. I like that.
Don't worry, I brought it back from the East End. She's brought it with her when she immigrated over.
That they just... cut through the wires and march into the next.
They ram the pickup through the. Through
the fence. And immediately are swamped by.
Like weird robots.
Yeah, weird robots who, like, they proper go at.
Yeah.
It's like, where's my grandkids? Yeah, give us back our grandkids, you motherfuckers. Like, he says that. It's a family film.
Yeah.
We're giving one F-bomb. And so they storm the farmhouse. And I think.
What do they find? Is when they get down there. Is it? No, they've knocked out the first guards. They sneak in, like, he's like, they'll be in the tracks lead to the storm cellar, right? So they break open the storm cellar. It's quite clearly never been used.
Yeah.
Looks like they went downstairs, or they can hear them or something like that.
Yeah.
They break open the storm cellar, go in. It's like a technological, like,
it's
nightmare.
It's an underground UFO.
Yeah.
Where the aliens are, like, they're all weird, like, grey alien
gangly
looking
dudes,
yeah,
going, and then, but they get captured and thrown in the same cell as the rest of them,
yeah,
and they're all like, they were again cut to the kids, they're crying in this cell where they're about to be converted, and then as a family they, like, with Xanthippe's knowledge of technology. Mara Wilson being little and loving adventure,
and,
like, she can sneak underneath
and
stuff
and unlock the cage they're in.
Yeah, and Dustin's like knows about UFOs, so he's like almost dreamt up a schematic of the ship. He's like,
yeah.
Well, the cockpit will be in this part of the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so
and the grandpa with weapons.
Yeah, and you know, knowing some stuff.
And I'm thinking at the end, the guy, what's his name? Grant Gustin. He's like the aliens, like, sort of last line of defense. He's like,
I would say that he is their first cyber soldier.
Well, it's like, Xanthippe, I love you, and then she's like, oh my god, I love you too, and then Grandpa shoots him, and this robotic skeleton face.
I think they walk into a room, like the main room of it. Grant Gustin is like. At a dais, sort of like, he's strapped into this machine, right? And they're quite clearly, he's got, like, wires coming out of him, but he's quite clearly, like,
still
he's
human,
bleeding and
I
stuff.
Guess.
Like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
still human, but he's got wires coming out
Does
of
that
him.
Be saves
they're
him?
Upgrading him.
Yeah.
In the process of, and, like, during the thing, he gets, she saves him, but then they go, they press a big button, and then, and he just tries to kill them.
I think the main boss of the aliens,
it's got to be
it's a mixture, like down the middle, half, one half Sigourney Weaver, one half Simon Pegg.
We have to have introduced them beforehand, so I think
it's just Deus Ex Machina. Kiefer Sutherland.
From New Zealand.
No, it's Pee Wee Herman and Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh yeah, Pee Wee Sutherland.
Yeah, okay. Pee Wee Sutherland.
Yeah.
it's like a mixture of the
two.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
They keep sort of merging because they're aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically just outline the plan.
Yep.
Guy shoots him. Grandpa shoots him.
I think, and then they're they activate Grant Gustin. Grant Gustin's about to shoot them. And then, from behind the behind Kiwi Sutherland, Mara Wilson's there with something that had skidded to the floor earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
The cricket bat.
Yeah.
And she just goes clonk over the head of Kiwi Sutherland and then presses the button. And Grant Gustin powers down.
Grandpa makes up a load of home bombs or whatever, like fertilizer bombs.
Yep.
Blows up the farmstead next door, and they live happily ever after.
Yep.
Like, the farmhouse is still on fire.
when
the parents are driving the thing.
Like, that was where we were supposed to... that was where the conference is, and there's all these, like, businessmen turning up at the front door as this family are crawling out with blood down the side of their heads, and they're dirty and they're smoky and everything.
Yeah. the final punchline. That's where the conference was. What did you do?
What did you do? And then they said...
They're all just covered in blood, and it's like...
Don't worry about that deal. It'll only blow up in your face.
The screen goes in and circles onto Rutger.
They all laugh for no reason.
Rutger Hauer's face as he winks at the camera. Yeah, there we go. That's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Grand Gramps Save the Galaxy.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
So thanks, Brent Black, for that title.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you want to give us titles any time of the week, go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show.
Yes, and don't forget to come over to soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast to listen to every other one of our episodes. And of course, don't forget to tune in on Mondays for the Deleted Scenes podcast, where we do all of our rambly bits, we answer questions from the audience, all sorts of fun to be had over there. So make sure you tune in on Mondays for that and Wednesdays for this.
Yeah, so yeah, if you want to give us a rating on whatever podcast thing you use, just give us a top rating, please.
The top one. Best one. 100% yeah. Marks, please.
Why would you not do anything else?
Why do you hate us like that?
Yeah. So,
until the farm next door is taken over by aliens and you have to bond with your grandparents in order to prevent them from cybertronifying the human race and taking over the galaxy, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye.